The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I'll put my bulletin down if you will. Now just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. And he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Well, what is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on the way, he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and then went away, leaving him half dead. By chance, a priest was walking by, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he came near and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling, when he came near and saw him, he was moved with pity. He went and he bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and cared for him. In the morning, he took 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of them. And when I return, I will pay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
You may be seated. Well, some of you may have taken note when I arrived at this congregation that my Jeep had a Virginia plate on it, and the license plate read, "Make Mud." Make Mud. Interesting tag for a four-wheel drive, right? And so I used to kid around with people when they inquired of me about that tag. And I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, that's from John chapter 9 where Jesus puts the mud, he makes mud and he puts it on the eyes of the blind man and then he sees." But you know that's only half the truth, right? Because we got that tag for that. Originally, that tag was on a 2008 Voodoo Blue Toyota FJ Cruiser. That was our original Make Mud Mobile, okay? And so when that vehicle died, and that has something to do with the story I'm going to tell you. When that vehicle died, then we put the tags on a new one on the Jeep that I have. Well, so we like taking this Jeep on off-road trails, you know, this Toyota at that point, on off-road trails. And there was one about 45 minutes away from us in the Shenandoah Valley that we like to go on. And it went from the base of the Shenandoah Valley up this narrow path and all the way to the top of Skyline Drive, where you could get back on the parkway and ride back to the interstate. Well, this was 2014, and it was right after Julia, our oldest, had graduated high school, and it had been a soggy spring. Well, that day, we loaded up in the FJ, and we headed out. It was a Saturday afternoon. And so we got on this trail. It's a beautiful trail, and not many vehicles dare to go up it, so there aren't many people, right? But it's only about as wide as this, and there are mountain laurel that were in bloom coming out all along the way, as well as blackberry bushes that were pressing up against the vehicle and would scratch the sides of the vehicle, so we had to push our mirrors in. And occasionally a mountain laurel would pop its head through the window with a flower just shaking in your face, right? So we were enjoying it, and little rocks, big rocks. I loved watching the ladies giggle as they were being thrown from place to place. And I would play some classical music to kind of calm my nerves while I traversed at 2 miles per hour this 10-mile trek up a mountainside. Well, we knew, Charlotte and I had been on this trail before, we knew that at the top there were some big mud holes that one had to go through, and that because of this particularly wet spring, they might get kind of interesting, right? Little did I know. And so as we got up to the top, of this plateau area, there were the mud puddles, and oh my goodness, the first one was long, probably as long as this aisle, or maybe even longer. And I looked at it, and I said, I'm going to stop the vehicle, and I'm going to get out. And so I went out, and I took a stick, and I reached out as far as I could and poked, see how deep that hole was, right? See if I could get through it or not. And I determined I can do this. So I got back into the vehicle, and I gunned it, right? Woo-hoo! There's three windshield wipers on that thing. We're going like this to keep the mud so we could actually see what was right in front of us. And so we got through it, and the mud just poured off the vehicle, right? And how it was so fun. And so we go about a quarter mile further, bouncing all the way. And then there comes another mud hole. Now, this one isn't as long as the other one, but it is deeper, right? And no, I'm a little bit concerned because it's a four-wheel drive, right? And it's got lots of clearance, but it's not the four-wheel drive with the right rear differential lock. Now, that may mean nothing to some of you, but to others of you, it means a lot. And that means that when one, even though it's a four-wheel drive, when one wheel spins, the other three will not bail it out. They will not help the one that's spinning, right? So, there are people in my vehicle going, no, Ken, no. And then there are people in my vehicle going, go, Ken, go. And, you know, there's that, who is it, Emerson? Or is it Emerson who says, two roads emerged in the woods, and I took the one less traveled by. Well, literally, beside this mud pit was a trail. The off-road trail, it had an alternative. You could go by that mud hole on dry ground, just 4 feet to the right of it. I said, you only live once, right? So I goosed it, and I ran into the mud hole. And I stayed in the mud hole. And that one wheel spun, and it spun, and it spun. And I felt like an animal that had been trapped, and I was trying to get out. And I put it in reverse and tried to rock it back and forth, and there was to no avail. And so then, after that, I thought, okay, put it in low. I had it in four high. I'll put it in four low. Four low was a no-go. Right? Just sat there. And so my heart was beginning to sink a little bit. You see, we were in the middle of nowhere, really. We were 5 miles, at least, from the top of the mountain where there might have been a road that people would have been traveling on where they would, you know, give us a ride. Well, so we get out, and I ruin my pants and my shoes in the mud, and getting down there, I had a little shovel, you know, and I was trying to dig out a little, see if I could maybe create a little way to give a little traction, threw some rocks in there, threw some sticks in there, nothing. Could not move. Meanwhile, the mocha-colored water started seeping in the edges of the door sills and into the floorboards, right? And so I was like, this is getting interesting. And there was one among us who was wearing a boot because they had hurt their leg. So I was like, okay, we have an injured person here and we're 5 miles from nowhere. So eventually, and we didn't have any food or water with us, right? This was going to be an easy trip. And so we began to hike ourselves out of there. Up the Jeep trail we went. And after about 3/4 of a mile, we heard, boom, 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 boom. There was an old Ford 1984 Ford F-150 4x4 coming at us. Yeah. And it was two bearded brothers and their girlfriends from Richmond who were visiting. And we told them our tale of woe. And they said, hop in the back. And so we'll go look, take a look. And so, boom, 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 we bounced back down the mountain we had just walked up. And they got out, and they got in the mud and looked at it, and they tried to do the same thing, put some logs in there. Nothing was working. So they said, all right. It's about this time we noticed that both brothers were packing pistols on their hips. And we just got a little more concerned, you know, that this could not end well for the Albrights. But, you know, they had good intentions. So they pulled that truck, backed it in to the front of mine, and they pulled out an old rope from the back of the truck, and they hooked it up. And so they revved up, and I revved up, and about on the count of three, one, two, three, pop! First try, the rope snapped. And they said, oh, it's all right. It was an old rope anyway. And then so they said, hey, we got a chain. Well, they had a chain in the back too. So they hooked up the chain, and we tried it again. And we revved up, and we counted to three. Snap! The chain snapped too. And I was beginning to get this sinking feeling in my gut, you know, that this is not looking good. We might not get out of here tonight. And so they said, well, one brother, he said, well, you know, I'm going to go find a place where I know I can get cell phone reception. And so one brother headed off while the two girlfriends sat in the truck. And the other brother and I stood there, and we talked about everything from good barbecue on his side of the mountain to good barbecue on my side of the mountain. And we swapped hunting stories and all that. These guys were actually bear hunters, and they were informally caretaking the trail on behalf of the Forest Service. And so that was their purpose that day, was actually to come out and check out the holes, the mud holes, and drain any that were too high. If I had just left the house 2 hours later, I would probably be fine. So here they are. It seemed like forever that the one brother was gone. But when he finally got back, he said, well, my phone a friend may have worked. There might be some people coming. And so it was starting to get dark, and we were getting hangry. And my pants were starting to feel a little chilly because the mountain air was settling in. And so, you know how in the woods it gets darker first, right? And so the sun was starting to set, and all of a sudden we hear, and at first I thought, a chainsaw? Is somebody cutting wood back here? And this guy was coming, one of their phone-a-friends, was coming on his dirt bike. And they warned me about him. And they said, this guy, they said, he's kind of a jerk, but they said he's got a heart of gold. Well, okay. Yin, 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 yin. He comes in, settles right in on us like a paramedic. And he's in his leather suit, and he's got this yellow rope strapped over his neck and under his arm. And he's like, and he skips any formal introductions whatsoever. And he just crosses his arms, and he looks at me, and he goes, I mean, I hate to mention the obvious, but he said, "Did you see that trail right beside the mud hole?" And he had himself a good belly laugh. And I wasn't laughing. So then at that point, he hooks up, so he gets that rope out. We hook it up to the old Ford truck. And we rev up our engines and nothing. The rope doesn't break, but the vehicle don't budge. Right? So we scratched our chins a little more. And I was beginning to think, you know, there's nobody who's going to come down here and bail me out. I mean, if I tried to call a wrecker service, they would laugh at me. Or they'd try and charge me $1,500. And so they said, "Well, we got one more phone a friend who's coming." It was just starting to get dark when this guy pulls up in his old Toyota 4x4. And it's a pickup truck. And he comes out and he's you know, dipping his skull and he's got his bald head covered with his ball cap. And he comes up and he's carrying this thing and he's like, "I think this is going to get us." And what it is it's a 25-foot-long bungee, right? This is thick and flat, and this is what they pull tractors out of the mud with. They pluck them right up out of the mud. And so we hook this thing up to his Toyota on one end and my Toyota on the other, and he said, no, don't put it in drive, just put it in neutral. And on the count of three, get ready. And so we counted to three, and he revved up, and he took off, and it was like the raising of the Titanic. Pull me right on out of there. And then we cranked my vehicle up, make sure it would still run, right? A few days later, it wasn't running. But that day, it ran. And we made sure that it was going to run good enough to get me all the way back up the mountain and back on my way. Well, before we headed back out of there, they were all standing around the back of that pickup truck. And I counted 7 Samaritans at that point. Some people might call them rednecks. I call them neighbors. And I tell you, I pulled out my wallet, and all I had in it was $70. But I pledged that to them, and I said, "As soon as I get home, I'll be sending more." And they said, "Nah, man. Keep your money. You'd have done the same thing for us. And besides that, we're going to be talking about this for weeks. And that's all the pay we need." Right? So that left me, that we went up the hill and I was on my way and we were rescued. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? It's the one when you are in the woods and ain't nobody watching. The one who is merciful. When nobody's looking. God raised us up. God was merciful to us when we were stranded beside the road in sin. And God plucked us up. And God transferred us into His good hands and His love and mercy. "Go," Jesus says, "and do likewise." Amen.